Yes, Lord, we praise you for you are alive, you are faithful, and Lord, you're coming back soon. And we are excited, Lord. In the meantime, while we're waiting, Lord, we want to be found faithful, waiting for you with expectant hearts. And Lord, this morning, without exception, as we open your word, may your word come alive to us. May we receive all that you have in store for us, Lord. May we jettison out of our lives the things that are not pleasing to you so that you may be glorified in us. Lord, we love you, praise you, and honor you. And all of God's children said?
Amen.
Awesome. You may be seated. Happy Father's Day. Woohoo. Would you please open your Bibles to Mark 14, verse 35 and 36. I've entitled our message this morning, Abba Father's Day, and you'll see why. We are going to be exploring dads. But I want you to know, although we're going to open up at Mark 14, verse 35 and 36, today's message is not expositional like I normally teach where I pick every verse apart. We're actually only going to use this verse as a springboard to many other verses. But let's do this. Let's read our verse this morning and then we'll go from there. Mark 14, verse 35 and 36. And he went a little further and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And as you know, this is the night of his betrayal and in the beginning of his crucifixion. And verse 36, he says, and he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. And so the Lord Jesus, he does a lot here. First of all, of course, he prays. He sets an example for us. What example? An example of submission to the Father. He gives us an example. And of course, we know one of the Ten Commandments, honor thy father and mother. And of course, I love the fact that God won't ask you and I to do something that he himself hasn't done through Jesus. That's why we have a high priest that was tempted in every way, yet without sin in Jesus Christ. So he's experienced what we experience, yet without sin, and he sets a precedence. He sets an example. Now, if you've been here for any amount of time, you know I teach all the time what Abba means. But if you've never been here before, it's important that you know Abba is not that funky Swedish group from the 80s, okay? Not that Abba. This simply means daddy. It speaks of an intimacy. But you go, wait. He says Abba Father is like daddy father. Isn't father enough honor? Well, it is. But there's a distinct difference between father and daddy. Listen, father speaks of authority, correction, provision, all great things. But daddy adds to that list love, nurturing, and guidance. So between father and daddy, you have authority, correction, provision, love, nurturing, and guidance. Great things. And we have all that wrapped up in Abba Father, our Heavenly Father. Now, we also recognize that today is a day that we look at our earthly fathers. And I have to understand and tell you that I understand that some of us had great dads. Some of us had good dads. Some of us had so-so dads. And some of us had Darth Vader dads. It was like, Luke, you know I'm your father. No, not him. And some of us had dads that were never around. And by the way, some of our parents had rebellious children. Now, as a pastor, here's what I realize. I realize that this concept of father, of daddy, is difficult for some people. Why? Because some of us had difficult childhood where we had Darth Vader dads, abandonment, indifference, neglect, and unfortunately, even some cases, actual abuse. And that makes it difficult. Why? Well, because once you become a Christian, because of your earthly father, it's kind of hard to accept that we have a good, good father in heaven. Because oftentimes, how we view our earthly father is how we will view God. I know this from my own life. When I got saved because of my dad, I had a hard time. All I could think was that God was there to drop the hammer on me if I got out of line. Because that's what my dad was to me for the most part. But no matter what kind of dad you had, we all have the ultimate father, God. He should be our hero. We should know his voice. We should obey his voice. He has given us abundantly. And by the way, his presence in our life should be the most valuable thing that we have. And understand this. Abba, which means daddy, both those titles are action words. Daddy is love. Love, daddy, Abba, all speak of action. A daddy is not passive. Love is not passive. It's an amazing love that God has. You understand, when we can call God Abba Father, he's perfect in both those situations. It speaks of his love for us. And by the way, what kind of love does God have for us? Well, turn with me, if you will, to 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. Now, I want you to stay here, though. You know, I'm going to read this verse, these three verses. But I want you to stay here because I'm going to look at a couple of things here. So don't turn away so quickly. So 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 through 3, it says this. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. Beloved, now we are the children of God. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we shall know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone, watch this, everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. See, this speaks of being intimate. It's God's initiated love towards us. Remember, you know, we love him because he what first loved us, right? But when we realize that he initiated love even when I was rotten to the core, we should respond. What should my response be? My response should be to purify my life in order to express my love back to him, not just to say I love him. That's easy. You know, we can all say, hey, I love you, and then be rude to each other, and that's not love. And the same thing with God. Once we realize that he loves us, as I do things that are right, I'm showing him how much I love him back. See, that's the idea. You know, I want you to understand, we have this concept that in order for God to love me, I have to do this, do that, and do this, and then he loves me. But if I do this and this and this, he's not going to love me. He's going to be upset with me. No. God does get upset with us. He does. But he never, ever stopped loving us. Even when you and I were sinners, he loved us. Chew on that for a while. But we think we have to earn his love. But look at this. Go back to verse 1 right here in 1 John chapter 3. He says this, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. When he says behold, he's saying, hey, stop what you're doing and really think about it. Because so often we go, oh, God so loved the world that he gave. No. He says, behold, stop, take a deep look. What manner, the quality and quantity of love that God has for us. You're going to be shocked. I like the way the NIV states it. There's very rare that I like the NIV, but in this one I like. Here's what it says. It says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us. God's love for you and I is a lavish love. It's extravagant. It's not a cold or a numb love. It's not a mediocre or typical love. It's not a so-so love. It is a lavished love. Do you realize that? I hope you do. It's extravagant. It's unbelievable. But speaking of lavish, I ran across a story, and I'm going to show you a picture. Put the picture up there, please. No? There it is. Thank you. That's pretty lavish, right? Okay, this is a car similar to the son of a Saudi oil prince. It was his graduation gift for college. Here's his letter to his dad. Dear Dad, Berlin is wonderful. People are really nice. I love it here, Dad. And I love the new car you bought me. But I'm ashamed to arrive at college in a gold Lamborghini Aventador when all my teachers and fellow students travel by train. Love, your son, Ahmed. Dear son, $30 million U.S. dollars has just been transferred to your account. Please stop embarrassing our family. Go get a train for yourself. Love, Dad. I want you to understand, God's love for us is more lavish than a Lamborghini Aventador. It's more lavish than you and I owning our own train to get around in. God's love for us, you cannot put a price tag on it. And when you think about a price tag, do you know what the greatest Father's Day gift of all time was? Jesus on the cross. Jesus on the cross. Father, if there be any other way. But Jesus' obedience was his gift to his Father. Your obedience to God is your gift to God, our Abba Father. Now, what was ultimately, besides his obedience, what was the other gift that Jesus was giving his Father? He was giving him us. Us. And God said, you're worth it. For God so loved the world. And we go, oh, the world. No, it's an individual love. Only God can love the world and individually at the same time. That he gave his son. Why? Because he believes you're worth, he loves you that much. Now, understand, Jesus, the Son of God, do you realize that Jesus pleased his Father even before his sacrifice? Even before his offering, his gift. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. This is before Jesus. In fact, this is the start. This is the signifying starting gun at the starting line for Jesus to start his ministry. It was right here in Matthew 3, 6. It says this. 3:16, I'm sorry. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly, a voice from heaven came saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen, Jesus hadn't preached. He hadn't healed. He hadn't raised the dead. He hadn't fed anyone or washed any feet. But God was pleased. Why? It wasn't Jesus' activity. It was his identity. You understand that? God is not pleased with us by our activity. God is pleased when we are identified with him. Do you identify yourself with Abba Father, with God, with Jesus? Listen, when we are identified with God, that means we are a child of God because we love Jesus because of what he has done for us, not because of what we do. Some people, we think that. We think it's what we do. Well, let me show you what Jesus said to the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the guys who did it all. Remember those guys? Memorizing verses, preaching all over the place, praying loudly, everywhere they went, tithing all the time. These guys did all the activities. Here's what Jesus said about them, the guys who did all the stuff. In John chapter 8, verse 44, you are of your father, the devil. What? But they are doing all the right stuff, reading the Bible, praying. But see, they were doing it to try and earn something rather than just loving God. You are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand for truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, they probably thought, these religious leaders, well, we've never murdered anyone. Well, they want to murder. And by the way, they are murdering the church. Paul was even one of them. They were killing church, but ultimately they even killed the Son of God. See, that's why the Bible tells you and I, when we worship, we should worship in spirit and truth. We should serve out of a love for Christ, not in order to earn his love. He already loves you. He can't love you more. He is the personification of love. He just does. It's who he is. We should be a living example of what it means to be loved by God and purify ourselves in order to love him back. God is our example. God is also men. He is also our example of what a loving father looks like. We should replicate that example. We should duplicate it unto our kids. Be forgiving, be long-suffering, be patient, be kind. I like what Billy Graham said. He said this: a good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, yet one of the most valuable assets in our society. Yet today in our society, they want to blur the lines between men and women, so there are no more fathers and there are no more mothers, just birthing persons. I don't know what they call a man, a breeding person. I don't know. But it's nuts. Listen, there's father and mother. Honor them. Now, you know what I love? I love kids. Kids are wonderful. I love their honesty. So some kids were asked, what is love? Here's some of their answers. Chrissy, age 6. Love is what makes you smile even when you're tired. That is so good. Chris, age 7. Love is when your puppy licks your face even when you left him alone all day. Oh, I love that. Nika, age 6. She said this. Love is when you tell a guy you like his shirt and he wears it every day. One more. Bobby, age 7. Listen to the brilliance. Listen, he said this. If you want to learn to love better, you just start with the friends you hate. Isn't that good? But here's the thing. Listen, God is a personification of love. Bobby has a good point. But God never hated us. We hated him. Some of us, I did. I didn't hate God because I didn't know God. I hated the concept of God when I was an atheist. Some of us, maybe we didn't hate the concept of God, but we were indifferent to him. And maybe even today, maybe that's you. I pray not. When God has such an amazing plan for us. Lamentations says this. I'm going to read from the NSAB, the New American Standard Bible. Love the translation. Listen to what it says. Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 22 and through 24. The unfailing love of our Lord never ends. Amen. By his mercy, watch, we have been kept from complete destruction. Great is his faithfulness, his mercy being fresh each day. I love that. Do you realize that every day, God, maybe you blew it. Maybe you haven't expressed your love back to God. His mercy is new every day. His mercy is new. However, it doesn't mean he won't correct us. Sometimes, from a child's perspective, and us as children of God, God seems unloving to us. Sometimes, you got to admit that you're like, I don't like what's going on in my life. And you blame God. You go, God, why would you let this happen? It happens all the time. People do that all the time. Sometimes we're not happy with God because he disciplines us. You ever have a kid, hear a kid get mad at mommy and daddy because of discipline? Yeah. We do the same thing. It never feels good to be disciplined, but it's always needed. It's always needed. But I want you to understand, God doesn't punish us. Maybe you go, God's punishing me. He doesn't punish us. You know what he does? He corrects us. He disciples us. He disciplines us. There is a difference. Like in parenting, I'll give you an example. The carnal, the earthly father punishes because the child's choice has caused parental grief, right? Yeah, you know, your kid upsets you. It's like, oh, you know, it's out to the woodshed or out to the barn or beyond the barn, if you have a barn. You're in trouble, young man, you know, that kind of thing. But God the Father disciplines us because our choices cause us grief. It doesn't cause him grief. There's nothing you can do that's going to ruin God's day. He is the personification of love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness. I mean, he's just happy-go-lucky every day. Not lucky. Happy-go-blessed every day. That's God. But as parents, we sometimes discipline because our children cause us stress. Yeah, we want it for their benefit. But by the way, that's why. And you're familiar with this verse. Psalm 23, verse 4 says this. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Watch this. For thou art with me. This is a King James version. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now you read over that. Okay, they're right. No. Think about that. Thy rod and thy staff. Remember, the staff has that hook. Grab the sheep hate it. Grab them by the... It's like... He says, your rod, that's the rod of correction. That's why God gave us extra padding in the back. It's for that rod of correction. That's why he gave us a long neck to get that hook in there. So his rod of correction, his staff of direction, that's what brings us comfort. Now understand, a shepherd will always care for his sheep. He doesn't chasing them for his good pleasure. It's not like the shepherd sitting around, you know, I'm kind of bored. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to beat my sheep. He doesn't do that. Rather, he lovingly corrects them. He corrects the sheep for their safety. See, a sheep that goes astray is going to be devoured by what? By the wolf, by the enemy, by the lion. And here's what God knows about you and I. If he doesn't correct us with his rod, if he doesn't pull us with his staff, the enemy roams around like a lion seeking whom he may devour. That's why God corrects us. That's why he directs us, because he doesn't want us to get devoured. That's a good, good father. And when an earthly father, by the way, gentlemen, when an earthly father or grandfather is Christ-centered, we end up taking on the heart that God has. The correction is for guidance, not punishment. Once again, God only disciplines believers. Why? Because Jesus already took our punishment. Jesus took all our punishment. There's no more punishment for believers, only correction and instruction and direction. Thank God he took our punishment. Listen, if God were to give me what I deserve hell. I raised hell before I was a Christian. I'd even tell my friends, hey, I'm going out Saturday night, I'm going to raise some hell. And boy, did I ever. Listen, when you raise hell, you lower yourself. But today is an Abba Father's Day. It's a happy Father's Day. But listen, every day when you realize how lavish a love God has poured on you, isn't every day an Abba Father's Day? It should be. And understand, when a church submits to the authority of Jesus, you know what it produces? It produces healthy, obedient children, new believers. It births new believers. The same is true for a household. When a father in the home takes on that godly attribute, you know, wants to be like Jesus, loving, kind, long-suffering, all those things, then the family grows to love Jesus more. That's an awesome thing. You know, I think about the prodigal. You're familiar with the story, right? the prodigal father. That's found in Luke 15, verse 11 through 32. I'm not going to read it. It's a lot of verses. You can have fun with that. But basically, rich dad has a spoiled son, one of his sons spoiled rotten. And he says, hey, I want my inheritance now, not when you die. And he goes and he squanders it on bad things. The Bible verse, the word used there is like bad things, really bad things. But I love the way the father responded. The father had an open hand. He gave him his inheritance. And then the father had enough love to let him go, and he waited. He didn't go chasing after his son. He didn't enable his son, but he let him go. And then with open arms, the boy came walking, but the father went running. I love that. Men, we need that same kind of love. We need to be tough enough and strong enough to let them go if that's what they want to do. But then we have to be tender enough to have an open heart when they return. I like what 2 Corinthians 6:18 says. It says this, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Men, women, God wants to adopt us, take us in as his own, and forget the Saudi prince. Our Lord is, the Saudi prince is broke compared to God. He loves us. And God loves us with the perfect love, not a flawed love. Every earthly father is a flawed father. And that's why, listen, unlike God, God never has to apologize. But sometimes as a father, we need to admit that we have faults and we have to admit that we fail. Listen, I fail as a father, as a husband, as a Christian, as a pastor. I'm going to fail you. You're going to fail me. You're going to fail your family. But if we can admit it and repent of it. But our Father, Heavenly Father, doesn't have to do that. He's perfect and holy, but we do. It's been said, a man who says sorry when he is wrong, he's teachable. A man who says sorry when he's not sure, he's pretty wise. A man who says sorry when he is right, that's a husband. Amen. You know, another group of kids, I love kids' responses. Another group of kids, they were asked, when is your dad the funniest? Kendra, age 15, said, always. That might as well have been Desiree. That's probably what she would say. Emily, 13, she says, my dad is funniest when he laughs at his own jokes. That could be Desiree, too. Lucy, age 11, when he's singing. Yeah, yikes. I love this. Mary, age 9. My dad is funniest when he kneels down and asks me to dance. Oh, isn't that beautiful? See, God wants us to have joy. God wants us to be happy with who he is in our life. That's what God wants. He loves it. Nehemiah, on Wednesday night, we've been going through Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10 says this. Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice foods and sweet drink. Sweet drink, not intoxicating. I just want to clarify. Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks. Send some to those who have nothing prepared. Take care of the poor. And he says this. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. You see, God wants us to have joy unspeakable because of his strength, because we can trust him, because he's a good, good Abba Father. We have an incredible Heavenly Father. But here's the thing. A lot of Christians, including me sometimes, we go through this life without joy. Without joy. Why? Because we get caught up in our surroundings. We must understand that we are not humans having a spiritual experience. We're spirits having a human experience. Our bodies are going to give out, but our spirits are going to be eternal. But we put so much stock in what happens on this earth that we forget that eternity, this earth is going to be a blink of an eye compared to eternity. See, we can have joy. We can have joy in any circumstance. How? By focusing on God. It begins with you and I changing the way we look at God. And that's why in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, you're familiar with this. I quote this all the time. And do not be conformed to this world, the tangible, but be transformed, I'm not going to make the sound, by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, which is good and acceptable and perfect. You see, I need my mind renewed. I need to focus on God's matchless love, his lavish love that he pours out on you and me and us and we. That's an awesome thing. But oftentimes, I pay attention to everything but his love. I miss out on that. We have an incredible Heavenly Father, even if you didn't have a great father here on earth. But understand, God, for us dads, God has given us an example, a great example, that being a good father oftentimes means sacrifice, right? Our Heavenly Father set us the example of what sacrifice is like, right? Isaiah 53:10 says this, "Yet it pleased the Lord, the Father, to bruise him, the Son, and he has put him to grief when you make his soul an offering for sin," our sin. "He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." Listen, God said this, "Look, you're my children. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to sacrifice my son for you so that you can have eternal life and that I can adopt you as my own." Listen, I don't know what kind of dad you had. I did not have a dad like that. My dad was an anomaly. What do I mean by that? My dad never gave hugs. My dad never said, "I love you." My dad beat my sisters and I till we were bleeding sometimes. It was horrific. My dad would cheat on my mom. My dad worked with the mafia to sell drugs. In fact, I remember as a kid, half of our garage filled with bricks of drugs all the way to the ceiling. At the time, I didn't know what it was. I was a little kid. But then as I grew up, I was like, I know what that was. He had bricks and bricks of drugs. But he was an anomaly. Why? Well, my mom and dad, their dream was to be business owners. And they had Josie's Taco House and they had Castillo's Nightclub, which was in La Puente, California. It stayed Castillo's all the way up till like just a few years ago. In fact, some of the people who come here told me they used to go there to dance at Castillo's Club. But my dad, this guy who wouldn't hug, wouldn't say, "I love you," beat us. When I got sick, my dad was willing to shut his dream down to be a nightclub owner and a restaurant owner in order to take care of mijo. He gave up. And so I was like, "Well, how does that work?" But he did teach me, even though he didn't hug, and I love to hug, and I tell my kids I love them all the time. Even though he didn't do that, he did show me how to sacrifice. He did teach me how to sacrifice. There's a song. I'm going to try and read the words and get through it. I struggle every time I read this. It's about someone who lost their dad and they didn't have the best relationship. Listen to the words. It's called Hurt. "Seems like yesterday when I saw your face, you told me how proud you were, but I walked away. If only I knew what I know today. I would hold you in my arms. I would take away the pain. Thank you for all you've done. Forgive you for all your mistakes. There's nothing I wouldn't do to hear your voice again. Sometimes I want to call you, but I know you won't be there. Oh, I'm sorry for blaming you for everything I couldn't do, and I hurt myself by hurting you. Some days I feel broke inside, but I won't admit. Sometimes I want to hide because it's you I miss. It's so hard to say goodbye when it comes to this. Would you tell me I was wrong? Would you help me understand? Are you looking down upon me? Are you proud of who I am? There's nothing I wouldn't do to have just one more chance to look into your eyes and see you looking back. Oh, I'm sorry for blaming you for everything I couldn't do, and I hurt myself by hurting you. Listen, if you had a bad dad, if you had a so-so dad, if you had a good dad, if you had a great dad, understand, we all have a wonderful heavenly Father who loves us. So on this day, it's a happy Abba Father's Day. It really is. And if you had a great dad, listen, tell him you love him. Whoever your dad is, I'm going to give you one last quote. Mark, age 6. You really should say, I love you. You really shouldn't say, I love you, unless you mean it. But if you mean it, you should say it a lot, because people forget. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, I thank you for loving us through our flaws, loving us through our failures, loving us just because that's who you are. And this morning, Lord, I don't know if there's some fathers in here that need some adjustments. I don't know if there's some of us who had fathers that were hard to deal with, or maybe we had a great father and we're just missing them. The one thing we know, Lord, is that you are a good, good Father. And you sent your Son to die on the cross for us. And so, Lord, this morning, as we take a day and we say thank you, dads. Thank you, fathers. Thank you, daddies. That we would not take that blessing, that gift for granted. And ultimately, Lord, that we would never take you for granted. And that we would tell you we love you by the way we live. And so, Lord, I just love you, Lord. And I need you more than I want to admit sometimes. But I'm not that strong. But you are that good. So, Lord, this morning, I don't know if anyone here needs prayer, but we have some deacons and pastor up front that would love to pray with you. Maybe you're hurting. Maybe you need some healing. Maybe you just want to do some praising. They'll pray with you. For the rest of us, I just want to say, may you have a happy Father's Day. So let's do this. Let's all